B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Trampler is Kenny Wayne Shepherd's latest record and doing really, really well for him. It's a killer album if you get a chance to check it out. Kenny Wayne Shepherd talks about that today, as well as Five Finger Death Punch covering Blue and Black with him and others.
I thought it was cool enough that the Five Finger Death Punch guys did Blue and Black on their album, their new album that came out in December. But
Brian May doing the guitar solo during that song, we talk about that as well. We talk about cars and guitars and ones he wants to get his hands on.
Eventually, I'm going to get my hands 1960 Les Paul. 58, 59, and 60 are kind of the big years for the Les Paul.
That's just for starters. Kenny Wayne Shepherd joins me today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Yes, indeed. As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Coming up after Kenny, we'll talk with Al Beck for rock news you can use or not. We'll give you a little bit of a teaser as to what's coming up on the podcast in the next few weeks. We talk about it. Jeremy Spencer from Five Finger Death Punch and his new gig. Metallica, Rob Zombie finally put the trailer out for Three from Hell, which looks kind of cool. And also a little thing for concert goers who are a little bit of the shorter stature that you might need. It sounds like some sort of Saturday Night Live skit, but we'll tell you about it coming up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Kenny Wayne Shepherd has his new record out called The Traveler, and it's killer, man. Really good stuff on there. And Kenny just, of course, ripping away at his guitar, and it's really done really well for him so far. Out on tour with a buddy guy, if you get a chance to check him out, definitely stop by and see Kenny. There's nothing like seeing a great blues guitar player, or two of them, for that matter, on a nice summer night in an outdoor setting. And that's pretty much where he's playing throughout the summertime. So, anyways, we do talk a little bit about Five Finger Death Punch. If you're a Kenny Wayne Shepherd band, go back in the archives here. Back about 6 months, I want to say. I'm going to say October, November, something like that. And Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Noah were actually in the studio with me back then talking about the upcoming record and different things. And we did talk about Five Finger Death Punch covering their song, but he hadn't like met him or done anything with it yet. And since then, they have done stuff with him. So we talk about that coming up here in just a bit. In the meantime, he's going to be celebrating a birthday, the big 4-2. And that's how we started off the conversation today with birthday greetings for Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, you got any big plans celebrating your 42nd birthday or what?
Well, we have a day off, so I'm actually going to drive down and go my friends on the Hot Rod Power Tour. So, which is, every year I try and do that if my schedule's open. This year we're on tour that week, so I can't do the whole trip. But I do have a day open, so I'm going to rent a car and drive down and go meet up with some of my buddies that are doing the Power Tour.
Nice. That's cool. And like we've talked about this before, and I was thinking about it on the way in too, it's like, I talked to my buddies into coming into the Dream Cruise here in Detroit for years and years and years, and finally they came in. Now they've been here the last 7 years. So 1 year, you got to come in because I think you'll just fall in love with the thing.
I know, man. It's like, man, it's always like around the end of July or beginning of August or something. It's like, I'm always, that's like prime touring time, but I really want to get there. I've been invited a few times by Dodge, and I just have not been able to make it yet.
Yeah. So last time I was talking to you as well, the record wasn't out. You were here in the studio, I don't know, but like some 6-7 months ago, whatever it was. But now the record's out. Traveler doing pretty good for you out there. On the charts and everything, the record sounds killer. And tell me about your thoughts about the album now being out.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, we just got the first week results. It was number one on the Billboard Blues chart, number one on the Billboard Americana chart, number three on the rock chart, and number nine overall for new releases. So that's a really strong first week debut. We put the video out through social media. It's been, it's got already got like over 500,000 views, and like responses has been over the top, and all the fans are, a lot of fans are saying that, they think this might be our best album yet. And to me, that's what it's all about, because, I'm trying to make, the best records we can possibly make today, even though we're almost 30 30 years into this career. So, you know, so far it's really good. Everything's very positive.
Yeah, the record is a killer. You got a cover song on there as well. And of course, obviously, you know, Five Finger Death Punch covered your song Blue on Black. And I was talking to you about that last time. And last time you were here, you really, you know, you kind of knew that the guys were trying to reach out to you, you know, and you knew that they covered it and whatnot. But then you shot the video for them and with them and with Brian May doing a solo on it and stuff. I mean, tell me about your thoughts on working with those guys.
It's been really cool. I mean, you know, I thought it was cool enough that the Five Finger Death Punch guys did Blue on Black on their album, their new album that came out in December. But then, you know, they wanted to do another version and have me play on it. And then it kind of grew. And then Brandon Gilbert was going to be a part of it. And then Brian May. And so it's like you got all these different genres, metal, blues rock, classic rock, country, all kind of coming together with this great song. And then we did it all for a great cause because we're donating the money to the Gary Sinise Foundation for First Responders. So the song's been number one 3 weeks in a row at Active Rock here in the U.S. So, you know, 22 years. We had a number one hit with it, and then 22 years later, it's a number one hit again. So it's like, it's really cool. It's a really, you know, exciting thing to be happening right now.
I was thinking as I was watching the video, it's like, what is the 21-year-old kid thinking about Brian May covering your solo?
It's pretty cool. I mean, I never would have thought that would happen, but I mean, what an honor. I mean, obviously, what an honor.
Yeah. You were 21 when that record came out. It's like, it's funny. I always thought of you as being a little bit younger. Obviously, you're about 8 years younger than I am or whatever, but I can remember playing that song, and you were just a kid just popping out onto the scene, and now all these years later, that song's kind of had a rebirth.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's a testament. You know, I always thought the song was a great song. I always believed that it was a hit song. And I've been kind of waiting around to see if somebody was going to come along and cover it. And they did. And now it's number one again. So it's a testament to the song itself.
Yeah, talk about working with the Five Finger Death Punch guys. Now, you never really met them before, I think, when I talked to you last time. So, I mean, talk about, you know, meeting them as musicians, as people. What'd you think?
Well, what's cool is, like, right around the time that the new version of Blue on Black was coming out with all of us playing on it, Ivan, we were playing in right outside Vegas in Henderson, and Ivan showed up, the singer for Five Finger Death Punch, and so he came out to the show, we hung out, and then I actually called him up on stage, and he sang Blue on Black with us on stage, so it was really cool, and he's been staying in touch, like, he's been texting me, like, every week. And he just, you know, couldn't be a nicer guy, man. And, you know, I'm just really happy for them and the success that they're having with the song.
Now, tell me about your cover of Mr. Soul on your record. Why did you guys decide to cover that one?
Well, you know, I have a side band called The Rides with Stephen Stills.
Right.
Yeah, they're like really good friends. And we did a show. We were supporting our second album, the Pierced Arrow album, and we were wrapping up that tour and did a benefit concert that Steven does every year to raise awareness about autism. And he has a bunch of guest musicians come out and play, and Neil Young came out, and so me and Steven and Neil played several songs together, and one of the songs was Mr. Soul, and it was just such a cool experience that I wanted to kind of pay tribute to that and do the song with my band.
Yeah, that is cool. Hey, I was wondering, of course, obviously you tweet out and text out pictures, you know, on your Instagram and whatnot. Do you have a car that is blue on black?
I have a couple of cars. Yeah, they're blue on black.
Do you really?
Yeah, and we're actually building one right now. It's a 1970 Barracuda convertible that's going to be blue and black as well.
What kind of motor are you putting in that thing?
Oh, man, I got one of the Hellcat engines, you know, like they have in the new Challengers and Chargers. 707 horsepower. It's just a monster supercharged V8 engine, and it's going to be nice in that car when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's cool. Any other cars you're working on right now? Or how many cars, first of all, do you have? Do you know?
I think I'm at about 12, which is like nothing compared to somebody like Jay Leno, for example.
Right.
You know, his collection is nicer than most car museums in the world. But, you know, for me, it's like I got a nice, modest collection. It's gradually growing. But, yeah, the current projects are the 70 Cuda convertible and a 1974 Dodge Ram Charger truck. So that one's kind of on the back burner right now, but that's next in line as soon as we get the Cuda finished.
Yeah, that is sweet. I love looking at the pictures of all your cars. How many guitars do you think you own?
I don't know. I've never laid them all out and tried to count them before. But there's definitely more than I realized, you know. I don't know what the exact number is, but more than I can play at any given time, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think I told you before that I asked James Hetfield one time how many cars and motorcycles he had, and he didn't know. He couldn't even figure out how many he had, so...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think most people don't sit around just counting all the things that they own, you know what I mean? But, you know, I definitely, look, I feel grateful to have any of it in the first place, but definitely to be able to have so many that I don't know how many I have, that's a pretty good problem to have.
Now, if you could, like, pick, like, you know, like maybe a car and a guitar that you've longed for, do you have one or is there something you're still looking for?
Well, the Barracuda convertible was a big one for me. I kind of always wanted to have one of those. But as far as guitars go, you know, eventually I'm going to get my hands on a 1960 Les Paul. You know, 58, 59, and 60 are kind of the big years for the Les Paul, the Sunburst. But I've played a bunch of them, and my favorite year is the 1960 because it has a little bit of a slimmer neck profile and it just seems to play a little bit better for me.
Mm. And tell me, of course, you're going to be here in the Motor City coming up with Buddy Guy. How's things going on the road? I mean, you guys just starting out, eh?
Yeah, it's going great. I mean, you know, he's a fan, man. I hope if I live to be as old as him, that I can look as good and play as good as he does at his age. And, you know, we've done a lot of stuff together over the years, but it's a great bill. It's a nice co-headline thing. So we played, you know, the same amount of time, but, you know, me and my band are the first ones on, and the fans are clearly having a good time. So it's going really well.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather will hold up here for you in the Motor City. I was thinking about this earlier today. So there's three people in this life I never got a chance to meet. Dale Earnhardt, Bob Probert, and Lemmy. I never got a chance to meet those guys. Did you ever, I don't know, somebody was talking about this earlier, but did you ever miss a chance to meet any of your heroes?
Not really. I mean, I got to meet a lot of really great people over the years. And, you know, one thing is, right before SRV passed away, we went to see him play a show at the Star Trek Amphitheater in Dallas, and we had backstage passes to go back and say hello to him. But we'd done that many times before. And so we kind of passed because it was getting late and everybody was getting tired, so we didn't go backstage to say hello. And, you know, that was the last time I ever saw him play before he passed away. So, you know, that's kind of a bit of a regret. But, you know, I got to meet him and see him play many times, and I'm grateful for that for sure.
That's cool. Well, Kenny, congratulations on the new record and the success it's having, and, of course, the tour and all the stuff you got going on. And hopefully you have a great birthday. And thanks, as always, for the time. And we'll see you here in the Motor City.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd today in the Talking Rock with Meltdown Podcast. And yeah, the sound wasn't great, but you kind of get the picture about what Kenny's all about. You know, I kind of broke the rule number one. I probably should have told him, hey, dude, would like to get another phone?
Right.
A different one. But that's always
you
one
tell
of
me I don't sound good every single episode.
That's true. And we can hear exactly what you're saying. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like one of those things. Sometimes I'll listen to podcasts or something. And it's like, you know, the host is really quiet and the guest is super loud. It's like, dude, fix this, please.
Yeah, I ran into an issue. I did an interview. My brother-in-law did this Transcontinental Walk, and I just did a couple interviews with him for his website, right? And I think you can relate to this. We did a Midway one when he was in Dallas, Texas, and we talked. The thing, we went great. 10 minutes. I didn't even have to edit this thing. It was perfect. And then, you know how our Pro Tools here, it blew out the interview.
What?
It blew it out. It's just completely gone. Like, it never happened.
Really?
So I was like, all right, dude, do you have 10 more minutes? Can we do this again? He goes, yeah, no problem. The second time around, his phone's cutting out. The answers aren't spontaneous anymore, so it wasn't nearly as good.
That's the thing, too. When you lose an interview, you try to do it over again. Yeah. It's just never the same.
Right.
So, but anyways, hey, speaking of interviews, coming up here on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown Podcast. That's Al Beck, by the way, doing rock news here in just a minute. So I'm going to talk with comedian Steve. I think it's Byrne. I think it's how you pronounce his last name. Anyways, he He just did this documentary, which is out on YouTube, which I watched last night about The Amazing Jonathan. Have you ever, do you know who that is?
I've heard the name.
Okay, The Amazing Jonathan is like one of these guys, as far as I'm concerned, like in my life, is kind of like on the cusp of like, you know, he plays in Vegas, but he plays like the second rate places, but he still packs the places. You know,
sure,
what I'm saying? He's not,
yeah,
playing like, you know, he's not playing the big, huge halls or nothing. So anyways, he was a comedian slash magician, and it's definitely worth it. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. And he was given like a year to live like a few years back, and he's still alive. And he,
wow,
kind of did this last tour and stuff. And it's just like, you know, he's, like I said, he's a magician, so he'll be up on stage and he'll ask this guy in the front row if he has a handkerchief, and he says, of course, or whatever, yes, or whatever. He says, good, he's got something on your nose right there, you know, like stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like shtick meets magic.
Sure,
and, you know,
yeah,
some people like, you know, David Copperfield's in the documentary and stuff like that. So we're going to talk with Steve coming up because he produced that. And it's kind of funny. He meets this assistant of his. The kid was 12 years old. His dad took him to see an Amazing Jonathan show back in the day in Australia, where the kid lives.
Mm-hmm.
His name, I think, is Joel Osborne or something like that. Anyways, he meets him, or he goes to the show, and the kid's like, yeah, whatever, I'll just go, you know, appease my dad. He gets mesmerized and just like, you know, he just like loves this guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they developed this friendship over years, and to this day they're like best friends. And now now Joel does his own stand up, and he tours with them, and, you know, or did, you know, for his final. It's a really interesting story. So
that's cool. Yeah. See, I know the name, but I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
At all.
He's kind of like on the level of like Carrot Top. Like people either love,
sure,
him or hate him, or, you know,
sure,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, that's coming up, and then I think one of the guys from Incubus I'll be talking with coming up here. I've got a feeler out right now for Tom Kiefer, and I can't wait to talk to Tom Kiefer because his last solo record for 2014 was so good,
yeah,
and now he's working on a new one, and I got some things I really want to ask him about.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's,
yeah,
that should be coming,
that'd be
up
cool,
as well.
And you were telling me off mic that he's one of the best performances you've seen.
Oh,
person.
My God, so good.
Yeah.
I did talk to Bert Kreischer as well, another comedian. It's,
yeah,
it's
like
a hysterical interview. So we'll be posting that within the next like month or so. But anyways, rock news you can use or not with Al Beck. And let's start with the guys from Metallica. There's always Metallica news. They just played,
yeah,
in front of 75,000 people,
yeah,
in Ireland,
mm-hmm,
at this like castle. And I saw some of the pictures of like Ghost and like Papa Emeritus is like on stage in the background. You see this castle, man. It looks so kick-ass.
Right. Yeah, no, that's cool. And like you said, there's always Metallica news. There's also always Metallica rumors.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to throw out there today is actually the question on the table right now is, will there be a Garage Inc. 2, another covers album? Well, Lars Ulrich was asked that question, and he gave us sort of a non-answer, but it wasn't a no. He said, wait and see.
All right. I mean... It sounds like, you know, an 8-year-old asked that question. Hey,
right,
you're going to do another Garage Days? It's like, wait and see. We'll see what,
yeah,
happens. I mean, if they put out something like that, it would, I don't know. I heard the story and you're just like, hey, should we talk about that? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't really have an angle at it because it's like,
right,
it's kind of like so just.
Like you were saying, it could just come up in a thread, like a Reddit thread or something like that. And they're just like, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say no.
Right. Like with the Foo Fighters we were just talking about off the air. It's like Chris Shiflett. Somebody asked him in a Reddit thread. It's like, hey, if you could play with one guitar player, who would you play with? He's like, oh, I want to play with, you know, Keith Richards. Well, what guitar player doesn't, first of all?
Yeah.
And that's in the, yeah, news? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, so. Anyway.
Yeah. I will say he didn't say no. It doesn't mean. So at least he's at this point not ruling it out. I'm not the biggest fan of the covers albums, so I'm not sitting here. I would rather hear another, you know, like I thought Hardwired was so good. I'd rather hear a new Metallica album.
Well, if they came up and said, hey, would you do another Lulu? And he said, it's not there, it's definitely on the table. I'd be like, what?
Fair enough.
One of the worst records,
yeah,
of all time.
I still haven't listened to it. I knew better,
dude. It is so bad.
I knew better.
Some of the music on it's killer, but then you just
I'll
put in Lou
know.
Reed, and
I'll never know.
I'll save you of that. So,
thanks,
anyways. Jeremy Spencer. Mm. He's now one with the law, apparently.
That's right. Now, he left Five Finger Death Punch back in December. Well, it looks like he's got a new gig, or at least a part-time one, sort of. He says on his Instagram post, he was recently sworn in as a reserve police officer for the Rockport, Indiana Police Department.
Yeah, good for him. You know, what the heck? You know, it's too bad he can't play drums. But you know, we were talking with Kenny Wayne Shepherd here about that Blue on Black video, and they must have shot that video after he left, because it was funny, like, during the one part where there's that big drum fill in that song and stuff, they're showing, like, footage of, you know, like, the forest or something.
Yeah.
You know, and so, he was obviously gone before they shot that. Yeah. But, you know, hey, he's a good guy. I've met him a few times. Seems really nice. I mean, I don't know him or anything, but it's like, he seemed like a good dude, so.
Yeah, well, if you do want to see that post, it's up on Jeremy Spencer's Instagram page.
Yeah, and those guys are clicking along, and now, you know, and he's got this supposed back issue and stuff, and it's like, you know, those guys, you know, they've really come up through the ranks, and now they're playing, you know, with sheds and stuff. And so, you know, for him to put it all out there and say, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Apparently, did I hear this right? That their drummer they have now, they found on Instagram?
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't know where I heard that. I just heard about that recently. So,
well, I've heard of that. Wasn't that's how sort of how In This Moment was discovered, right? On MySpace back then by Blasco. Like, Blasco found them on MySpace.
Moment? Yeah. Well, it's possible. Yeah, he's got kind of a managerial mind.
Yeah.
Blasco does.
Yeah.
So, Rob Zombie finally released the trailer for Three From Hell. Now, of course, you know, House of 1,000 Corpses, Devils, Rejects, and now Three From Hell.
Yeah, so the teaser trailer is out there. We don't have a release date as of yet, but it is looking like it's coming out at some point this year.
Yeah, now they're like showing, like, you know, different stuff from past movies and stuff. And then Sherry Moon Zombie, the Devil's Rejects, you know, the whole thing with the three guys walking and whatnot. There's this one line that Chop Top Mosley says in this thing that's really cool. Of course, a very classic 70s feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready to burn.
I missed the line. Hang on, let me get back here. Hold on. That's it right there.
There we go.
I suggest you get ready to burn.
This is quite a journey we've been on.
I have a feeling that might be a pivotal part of the movie, but we'll see what happens. I suggest you get ready to burn.
Well, a suggestion coming out later this year, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know what, dude? I've told you before, huge fan of Devil's Rejects, House of 1,000 Corpses. The Lords of Salem was just pathetic. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I haven't seen that. I've seen House of 1,000 Corpses and Devil's Rejects.
You can stop there.
Yeah.
31 was like, okay. And of course, you know, his remakes of Halloween and stuff are pretty cool, but it's like, man, I wanted so bad to like, you know, Devils or Lords of Salem, and it just was awful, man. It's like,
I'm really not much of a horror movie guy. I mean, I really checked out the other two because Rob Zombie directed it, you know, just out of curiosity. And I think he's a great director. But, I mean, Lords of Salem, by then, it's like, I've seen his work. I'm just not a horror movie guy.
Yeah, you know what? All of Rob's movies have the same kind of vibe to them. They're like this, you know, 70s, middle of nowhere. You know, they got the classic rock playing, that kind of stuff. You know, my brother told me one time, he goes, after watching the end of, I believe, Devil's Rejects, when they're playing Freebird at the end, there's that firefight. He goes, you'll never listen to Freebird the same way. And a few months later, I was driving down the road, I heard it on the radio, and that scene just, like, flashed into my head.
Yeah, of course.
And I told Rob about that, and he says, you know, there's something about, you know, using those classic rock songs, they kind of almost reinvent themselves, just like Blue on Black did with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Foo Fighters a few minutes ago. What's going on with Dave Grohl? There's always something happening with
There's
Dave.
There's always something going on with Dave. But as you recall, what, 3-4 years ago, something like that, he fell off and injured himself, had to do the whole Iron Throne thing to finish up the tour. Well,
which was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, he's tried to prank the crowd once again by hiring a stuntman to run off the stage dressed as himself.
Now, is this a story from 2017? I have a feeling I've heard this before.
I know. I was kind of looking at the two going like, I feel like we already talked about this. But no, he's done it again.
Yeah.
You know, which concerns me because of he's going to keep pretending to fall off the stage to troll the crowd, and then he's going to hurt himself again.
Right. Well, you know, did you see where he drove Geddy Lee to his book signing in Toronto? That's so cool. He like, and all of a sudden he's like, Geddy Lee gets out and walks past the fans. You know, goes in and signs, and all of a sudden Dave's like, "Excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom." You know, and then it's like, "Holy crap, that's Dave Grohl walking through the crowd."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He seems like I know you've talked to him, or I have never met the guy. He seems like he might be the coolest guy in rock and roll.
No, you know what he's. Kind of exactly like you'd think he'd be like, you know, we're sitting there in the room and I was interviewing him during the them Crooked Vultures. And we're sitting there in this boardroom and there's this big, long table in front of us. And the door is behind me, these double doors. And all of a sudden, the doors just swing open really fast. He's like, "Hey, everybody, I'm Dave." Okay.
Making quite an entrance.
Right. So I'm interviewing him the whole time, and it's like I got Dave Grohl and Josh Homme on the left, and John Paul Jones is on the right. I keep thinking to myself, that's freaking John Paul Jones.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, from Led Zeppelin, yeah, John Paul Jones. Yeah. And I mean, Dave's a big name himself, but this was a few years back. But anyways, yeah, he seems like a pretty good guy. I mean, from the limited time. And I saw him. He walks outside the... the book Cadillac here in Detroit, and there's all these autograph hounds, and it's like they weren't fans. These are professional people that know where these guys are,
right?
And they got pick guards and pictures and different things like that. And Dave is cool. He's like, "Look, I'll sign one thing for each of you. That's it."
Yeah,
because he knows they're just gonna sell it. So it's right. Like, you know what? Here's your chance. So pick what you want. That's all I'm signing. So that's what
I think
did.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
Anyways, to wrap up the news you can use or not today.
That's right. I think you can use this piece of news, Meltdown.
We'll see.
This is new. There's a new product that's coming out. It's for shorter people, you know. And so this is why I picked this out just for you. You know, I'm sure you've been at a concert before and you got somebody who's, you know, tall or even average height in front of you and you can't see anything, right?
By the way, I was at Highly Suspect and they had the tallest fans ever. I couldn't see anything the whole show. I'm 5'6", so go ahead.
Yeah. So now this may be your salvation, Meltdown. Get yourself a set of periscope glasses.
I don't understand. Is this like a submarine?
I was going to say, it's like something right out of 1982. It really does seem like a dated idea. But yeah, it's these set of glasses you wear on your head and then it extends up an extra foot into the air. So that you can see up over the heads of other people. Here's a picture of it for you.
Oh, my God. This looks exactly like a Carrot Top sketch.
It does. It does look like a prop, like a Carrot Top prop.
A prop that he would use.
Yeah.
All right, here's something for you, in case you can't see over the guy in front of me. Ah, it's periscope glasses. that didn't work. All right, moving on.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, this could solve your issues. And, you know, maybe if your kids are listening, Father's Day's coming up.
Oh, my God. Hey, my kids are definitely not listening to this. The fact that anyone does is kind of a miracle. If you've made it this far, God bless you.
Right.
I appreciate you listening. If you've made it this far, leave us some feedback. 248-586-2988 and let us know what you think about Al's ridiculous news.
Well.
Anyways, coming up, we'll see, like I said, I'm going to talk to that comedian about this amazing Jonathan. If you get a chance, it's on YouTube, so just go watch it. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, nonetheless, and you can see some of his amazing Jonathan skits and different things like that. So, and while you're out there on the interweb, follow Al Beck here on social. What is it?
It's Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown, WRIF, and you can follow me on at Talking Rock with One. I think on Instagram it's at WRIF. RF Meltdown, but you get the picture. Anyways, thanks so much for checking out the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. We'll do it again soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.